Okay.
Welcome to episode 47 of the Permaculture Pimpcast. Here we are, father and son team, where we discuss permaculture preparedness and practical living. How you doing, son?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, man. Today's episode, as always, is brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap, where you can get it at twooldcrows.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Also, EMP Shield, y'all, 50% off as long as you use the promo code PERMA. P-E-R-M-A.
Yeah.
As if you didn't know how to spell that.
It's all lowercase too.
There you go. Yeah, so make sure you get that $50 off on the EMP shield, okay? Always thankful for all of our sponsors and also thankful for all of you. Now you get a lot of different podcast choices, and we're really thankful that you choose us. Also, if you'd like, you can go over to the Fountain app where you can leave comments, listen to all your podcasts out there, but most importantly, you can tip a pimp. That's the most important thing, don't you think, son?
Yep. It's a use the hashtag tip a pimp too.
There you go. Use it everywhere. Yeah, it was pretty
use
cool.
Use it on other people's podcasts. Tip a pimp.
Yeah, man, this thing is growing, man. People seem to dig it, and I love doing it. I wish, you know, if I can ever get a few things off the plate, maybe we can do this thing a little more often. Right now, twice a week, Monday and Thursday. And we're going to see if we can't try to slip in another episode, maybe do interviews. There's a whole lot of people I'd like to talk to, but only 24 hours in a day because we've been up to our necks lately, but we'll cover that in a minute. Tip of the day. Think about it. Think about this. You can make 5 times the money by bartering, okay? Now, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. We've talked about it before, like the honey. I've probably given away the equivalent of a gallon of honey to the guy that gives us all those triple ground wood, aged wood chips.
I wouldn't even say a gallon.
Yeah.
Like maybe like 3/4 or half a gallon.
Might be somewhere around there. And that was more, if you were to take this and put it in dollars and cents, I kid you not, this stuff would cost probably, I'm being very generous when I say 5 times the money, I mean, by bartering.
Right.
Through that, I mean, I'd say it's probably 100 times.
Yeah.
Because honestly, he loves the idea of having this honey for allergies and all the other, you know, ailments that he may have. And to him, it's more valuable than money. And, you know, so that's an awesome thing. Also, another thing, and we're going to cover maybe a little bit more of this as we get later in the show, but son, we went over there. Okay. The initial thing was helping out our friends, and I don't want to reveal what the place is yet. And they want me to keep a lid on it for now because they really don't know if they're going to be able to handle the influx.
Right.
So they're hoping that we don't tell everybody where it is right now. But I'm telling you what, these are some really awesome chefs, world travelers, and they're friends of ours, friends of the family. And we talked about it in a YouTube video. We were talking about how in exchange for electric work, I'm getting a, well, first that, we got a freezer.
Well, yeah, that freezer. And then also that bandsaw. What's the Hobart?
Hobart, yeah.
Hobart.
And that type of bandsaw you can't find unless you find it somewhere hidden away. You're not going to find it. In fact, the ones today, they bog down when you put any kind of, now this is a double-edged sword. I mean, this thing bogs down for a reason. Well, plus the motors, the newer ones bog down. The old ones don't. But you get anything caught up in there, man, you can hang it up, nephew, because that thing ain't stopping until it takes your arm off. But, I mean, you're trying not to get mixed up in it anyway. And if the band breaks, you know, that's always something to look out for as well. So, but the cool thing is that if I would have gone in there and initially did, I mean, it might have been 30 minutes of work of what they wanted to do. Well, they don't have money, okay? But they got things, and they got a lot of things because they bought this business for, I mean, I can't tell you what it is, but
right,
it was insane.
But like a fraction of the cost.
Yeah. The building and all the stuff in it. And the people that previously owned this restaurant had never been in a restaurant business before.
Right.
So you can capitalize on other people's foolishness or mistakes or just, you know, ignorance or whatever. So they got in here. There's a bunch of stuff. They know I'm a butcher. And they were like, hey, man, you know, we ain't got the money, but could you, or they have the money and it's not that much that they have to renovate this thing. I mean, it's
right. But in a quick side note, take what they did and keep that in mind. If Trump gets reelected, there's going to be a whole lot of farms for sale for cheap. A whole lot of homestead equipment, a whole lot of tractors.
Biden, you mean you said Trump?
No, if Trump gets reelected, well, the second time?
We'll see.
I'm saying if he gets reelected, there's going to be a whole bunch of people quitting the homestead movement.
No, I totally agree. I mean, if that happens, which, you know, I don't know why anybody would have any faith in the fidelity of these elections, but point being is that if, and that's a very good point, son. In fact, that might even be something for people to look out. You know, everybody's asking, how do I buy land on the cheap? And I'm going to do that show.
Vote for Trump.
I'd have never said that. I mean, I think they're all polecats, man. I don't have any faith in any of them.
Yeah.
But the point I'm trying to get at here is that there are things out there far more valuable than money. So if you don't have the money, maybe you have something somebody else finds valuable. But the real truth of it is, I would have done it for free.
Right.
Honestly, she's giving me so many biscuits, man.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
And these biscuits are awesome. They're not as good as your mom's, but if you're out and about and you got to go buy something, I mean.
That's actually the name of the video. We'll work for biscuits.
Yeah. Well, it's not just that, man, but it's so many awesome things. And they're wonderful people. They don't have the money, but I would have done it for free. If they just said, hey, I need a favor. I mean, they have been such a blessing to us in so many different ways that I would have honestly done it for nothing. But it made me think, you know, how cool a tip is that? Where there are so many of us out there that don't necessarily have the money to buy certain things, but maybe you can go out there and work it off. You know, that's a legit trade. Or maybe they have something like this bandsaw. And then when they threw the bandsaw at me, I'm like, hold on, man. Okay, I just sat. What you want me to do is about 30 minutes of work. And then, you know, I said, look, let's just go ahead and what's on your wish list? Well, out in the place where the customers are going to see it, the world's worst electric work was set up out there.
World's nastiest electric work. Yeah, it was just done. Disgusting.
Yeah. And it was filthy. I mean, not only that, you know, so many different things that had to be squared away. But the cool thing was is now you and I went out there. It's been like 2 days now we've been out there. And tomorrow, it should take about a half day tomorrow. But the point being is now we were an extreme blessing to them. Now we took some unsightly, unbelievably nasty electric work, put it to where it's invisible. That's the best electric work, where you can't see any of the functioning going on. That's exactly how I like to do it. And they are just absolutely elated. Now we had to go back tomorrow and we're going to add a couple more things that they didn't expect. So it's like, you know, giving them, you gave me something that I couldn't find if I went, unless I wanted to spend a fortune. Well, and
here's
now,
also the benefit of like bartering versus like hiring someone out, is that if they had gone with like a contractor or something, they wouldn't have saved a single dime. But going with Dad, they were able to save money on the initial cost, but also in materials, because you know what you're doing.
Well, that's
and
funny.
you actually care about these people, whereas a contractor wouldn't care. Like, okay, yeah, they're gonna have to buy brand new material. I'm not wasting time an effort to reuse this other material.
Exactly. Most contractors would never, ever, ever think about doing something like that.
Like,
and plus,
he was willing to spend like $1,200 on material and ended up costing less than $250.
Yeah, but that's all he had.
Yeah.
Remember, he said, hey, man, if it gets $1,000, let me know, because I got to sit here and switch money around. Well, if you're in that kind of bind, man, I'm going to do everything I can to meet you halfway. So when he came, he said, there's no way this is going to cost under. So I'm like, okay, just you and I know it. I mean, they don't listen to this pimp cast, but the point being is that if a contractor were to go out and do what we're working on, you're looking at about $10,000 worth of work.
They're paying for a new spool.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not going to just pay for the. So here we are. We were able to reuse most of this old. And the cool thing about these old parts is that they work better than the new stuff.
Yeah.
For the most part. And we were able to do all that. And honestly, it's kind of a pride thing. Like, okay, how cool is this? A job that should have cost $10,000, I've been able to do it for under $250.
Yeah.
How cool is that, man?
And you're taking stuff back.
Yeah. And we're actually, that's cool, because now we got to take back some of the material. So they're going to get an even bigger blessing that now that they can put into that business. But the point being, folks, I mean, I feel really passionate about this, because there are so many of us out there that are having a hard enough time. Just make yourself a blessing. If you know somebody is in need, maybe not wait for them to ask it. And then maybe, and don't do it for any thought of reward. just and that's what, son, that's what really drives me nuts about certain things where you go out. Well, I've done this numerous times where you go and help somebody, and because they're so jaded with how their life has been, they're wondering when the other shoe's going to drop, when you are going to say, okay, you owe me this. Yeah. And then when it never happens, they really don't know how to take it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. And the good thing about it is it's been rainy about here. So it's not like we can actually go out and chop down trees.
It was
and,
perfect timing. Because if I wasn't doing that, then I would be chopping down trees. And
yeah, we would have been in a bind. So it's, folks, I mean, just really, really think about that. Because, and then here's another big thing. Guess what? When I trade work and when I do this sort of thing, ain't no money, you know, Uncle Sam ain't getting dipped into it.
Mm-mm.
You know, when you're sitting here bartering, Uncle Sam doesn't have to have anything to do with that. So I basically...
And it's a completely parallel economy.
Well, how much better can they get there? I agree with you, son. That's fantastic. How much better, though, can they kick this business off? Because they're doing this on a shoestring budget with very little funding. They have very little all the way around. Now, they have mad skills. I mean, one of these chefs has been to over 35 countries studying this craft, and she is extraordinary. Both of them are. And it's pretty awesome when you see them around each other because they'll taste food. Like when they came over to the house one time and they ate that honey.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there going about all the notes. I'm like, man, I got no idea what y'all are talking about, man.
This one's sweet and this one's sweeter.
Yeah, that's all I know. Then they're like, I taste blah, 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 blah. I look over, I'm like, hey, man, y'all.
I believe you.
You're out of my depth. I don't know. I mean, I can't taste all that. I just know it tastes good. And but anyway, it's just been a joy to be able to say, okay, so you didn't have to pay me $10,000 to do this job or any contractor for that. Now that's 10 G's that you could have, that now you can redirect and go out there and do some special stuff. How or awesome is
that's
that?
That's $1,000. Okay, so $1,000, that's what, like 3 minimum wage workers wage for a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
That means you have employees for the first week.
Yeah. And they're already a little bit behind. I mean, so folks, I didn't mean to take this so far, but I just feel so awesome about every time I'm able to be a blessing for somebody, especially when I feel like I'm not being taken advantage of. And believe me, I ain't no dummy. There have been those, and strangely enough, it's always been family that seemed to do that, where,
hey, build my house and then I'm going to kick you off the property.
Yeah. Yeah. Build this house. And then when I get what I want, yeah, we'll go ahead and, you know, so that's your tip of the day. It's a long tip, but hey man, I feel pretty happy about it. And I want to convey that honestly, I've gotten way more benefit out of doing, I mean, I used to do a lot of work for Habitat for Humanity, Christmas in October. A lot of these other volunteerism has been a very big portion of my life. And honestly, it's pretty cool when you can go out there. I've often wondered how lawyers feel when they do something pro bono and get somebody off a death row that shouldn't have been there to begin with. Now, granted, you can't compare that with this.
Well, I don't know. That was some pretty shoddy electric work.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was bound to happen.
Yeah. Well, you got a point there. I didn't really think about that, but honestly, just do some more volunteerism, y'all. Like, if you're having a hard time for Christmas or whatever, I mean, if you celebrate it or whatever the case may be, you know, a lot of the rough times in my life, I've always felt better when I was able to go out and help other people that were doing even worse. And you just, I think that's what we're put here to do. We wouldn't need 99% of what's offered out there in terms of government, this and that, subsidies, things I've been critical about, if we just help one another in the areas where we're able. Cook a meal for somebody that needs it. Help them out. You know what time it is. And honestly, you're listening to this Pimpcast, so you're already aware. So, okay, so it's been raining. Farm news, it's been raining, so it couldn't have been a better time to do this sort of thing.
Yeah.
I got to
get
out there and help Ben, the Ridge Ranger. I'll go put an EMP shield for him. I got to put it in at his place. You know, your mom has been up to her eyeballs since she can't go out and work. Of course, that drives her nuts. But she's been going.
At least she has an activity to do inside.
Well, and it's studying. I mean, she is going full. Y'all, I'm telling y'all, try to get her more involved, but she's real shy about so many things. And I'm telling you, she's the brains of the outfit in so many different ways. And she is absolutely, I mean, extraordinary. There's this online course. Now, when somebody hears online course, you think, how good could it be? Believe me, this is Yeah, once she gets it squared away, she'll be among the very few in the world that have this certification. And of course, we're going to convey it to everybody out there. And you're going to dig it.
I'm glad mom's keeping busy during the rainy season, because I have to make weight Saturday for jiu-jitsu, and mom bakes when she gets bored.
You got that right.
She makes everybody fat.
Yeah, everybody but her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She'll bake everything and then won't eat it.
Won't eat any of it. And then I'm sitting here getting up in the morning. I reach over. She ain't even in the bed. I'm like, man, what's going on here? I get out there, and she's out in the garage working out.
At 4:30.
I'm like, man, you got to stop all this. And then, yeah, and then at night she gets a little bit grumpy. And then she's ready to go to bed, and, you know, she stops before I do, so I'm still going at 100 miles an hour. And then, of course, we, you know, we'll sit there, and she's ready to cash in. I mean, I've told her, look, this going to bed at 8 o'clock stuff is for the birds, man.
We're running shifts around here, y'all.
Yeah, I'm like, I told her, you better not set that clock tomorrow. I don't know what's going on. Of course, I'll sleep through anything unless the alarm goes off. Well, it was Milk Boy's birthday yesterday. 2 years old. That's what mom told me.
Okay. Okay. Mom and dad are both crazy when it comes to these animals. Dad's crazy about Milk Boy and Coco. And mom's crazy about the other two dogs, Chloe and Nala, mostly Nala, and the sheep. Both of them are equally crazy. Dad might be slightly crazier just because the larger animals require more. Guys, no. You need to pray for me.
I ain't even close, man. Your mom's in there doing puppy talk. I need to record that someday, man. People can check that out. But
y'all are both crazy. I'm going to get you guys. Y'all are going to see, everybody's going to see a YouTube video, and it's just going to say proof. And it's going to be mom and dad on there being crazy with their animals.
Yeah, good luck catching me with some of that footage. And speaking of footage, you and I got caught at Lowe's. We talked about it on Patreon. We actually made a little short video, and I wouldn't have even paid attention had it not been for Eric Sider. Send him. Eric, by the way, y'all, is kind of like the de facto producer of the show, because he sends me some pretty, I mean, he is the consummate researcher, and he's a consummate doer, because he does all this stuff. But man, here lately, he's been sending me stuff about AI. So as you and I were going through Lowe's, and folks, if you want to see it, it's over on Patreon. It's just like a 1 minute video where
it's not even, it's like 30 seconds.
Yeah. Like this ID camera, which I've seen before. It boxes your face like they do at Walmart.
That's the first time I've seen it box your face though,
man. I just want to shoot that thing right off the wall, man. I saw that and I wouldn't have even paid attention had it not been for some of these articles, and maybe I can get into some of that, but yeah. Eric sent me this thing the other day. And it was basic. I mean, this was one of the most chilling videos, and I still got to send it to you, that I've ever seen in my life, where they're talking about the capabilities of this AI. Well, I watched this thing, and it was getting kind of late. And I'm like, okay, Eric sent it, so I got to watch it. Anything he sends me, I know that it's not going to be just something silly.
Right.
There's a reason he sends it. So I'm like, okay, I'm tired, but I'm going to watch this thing. Man, I was about 12 minutes into it, and it was already freaking me out as far as what this AI is capable of. Now, Eric sends me a text a little bit later, and he started trying out some of this AI. And I think he asked it something like, I don't have it in front of me right now, but it said something like, basically write a blog post of the benefits of invasive species.
Yeah.
And I'll be doggone if this thing didn't write. If you listen to this video, man, maybe we ought to link that down below.
Well, here's an example. Here's an easy example is Google like a recipe, just like a generic recipe. Mostly, I've noticed this a lot on paleo and keto type recipes. A lot of those blog posts are AI, or I suspect a lot of those blog posts. Well, okay, let me back up. You look for the recipe, you click on the recipe, and it's this long blog post, and you have to scroll all the way down to the bottom to get the ingredients and the recipe. And you'll notice you'll pass like literally 50 ads in between the top of the page to the bottom of the page. I have a strong suspicion that everything written beforehand was all AI generated blog post.
You know, I'm starting to think that Eric sent me this thing.
It's a money generator, because you just made people just scroll through all those ads, had a optimized search engine or search engine optimizer for your recipe. People are looking for exactly the recipe you just provided, and you just made people scroll through 50 ads. It's just a huge money generator.
Yeah, but it's also scary and aggravating at the same time, because I wrote back to Eric. I'm like, I mean, first of all the other implications are extraordinary. And I remember when this whole COVID thing was hot and heavy, somebody said to do this, and I started doing it. And it said, pick a number anywhere between 1 to 1,000 and put in there, no matter the search engine, X amount of people, like 764 people dead from COVID. Yep. You could put that in and there would be an entire article that would pop up. I don't care what number, you could probably still do it. Pick whatever you want. And I'm like, okay, how's this happening? That right there put the nails in the coffin to tell them, okay, that made me think, well, I was already thinking it before then, but I was like, dude, there's something very, very stinky about what's going on if this is happening.
Yeah.
And it didn't all come together. And now I'm asking myself critical questions about all the other things, the information that's out there. But I wrote back to Eric and I said, well, I guess, like Eric said, it makes school irrelevant almost.
Yeah.
Why would any kid ever, once they find out about this, I remember back when you were in school in Kansas, there was this giant scandal at one of the local communities where all these kids basically plagiarized something.
Yeah.
And the principal was going to kick them out of school. All the parents came up there and they just reinforced, hey, it's okay to cheat to all their kids. It was a big deal. But now, when you can have AI generate your essay for you, okay, so read whatever and do a book report on it. Well, they ain't never going to read it when they know they can have an AI go out there and generate this stuff for them. But it's also making me wonder how much legitimate information is out there. How many entire books are written? If Eric could go there and sit there and put this in and have it generate an entire article, well, who's to say you couldn't write a whole book with this?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in the middle of writing a book right now, if I can ever get myself back to it, because I've just been so busy lately. It honestly makes me sick what I see going on, because I'm wondering, okay, like you said, with these blog posts, these recipes, how many things are even legit anymore? Just like Elon Musk, and I'll talk about him in a minute, how supposedly I'm still not believing he's the knight in shining armor. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. There's too many dualities with this guy. But like he's pointing out right now, all this stuff, all these AI bots that were right there on Twitter. And, I'm sitting here wondering how many are right there on YouTube. Because I'm not even sure half these people, because the syntax a lot of times is off.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'm not even sure these people are legit, especially when who's out there identifying them as Victor 1879er, I'm like, I don't know about all this, man. So it makes you wonder how much is really even real. All right, before we move on, son, you got an announcement.
Yeah, I got a knife giveaway announcement. All right, this is from Big B, capital P, capital T. And the title of the review is Pimpin' Ain't Easy, Simp to Pimp.
Bam!
In the great philosophical words of Big Daddy Kane, pimping ain't easy. Listen to Billy and William so you can go from a permaculture simp to a permaculture pimp. These are true blue, non-purple breathing permy pimps pimping that permy lifestyle. I started watching them on YouTube. Dad's over here drinking water. He's gonna have issues.
Dude, I tried to get a drink.
If you only listen to one podcast and are passionate about this lifestyle, then this is the one to listen to. These dudes are legit. I'm learning something every episode. I cannot wait to connect one day at show or festival. These are my brothers from another mother. All right, so Big B, capital P, capital T. Email Billy at Permapastures Farm. What is it? At Gmail?
Gmail.com.
Go ahead and say it one more time.
Billy at Permapastures Farm. Wait, man, I don't even know, man.
Okay, what's yours, email dude? permapasturesfarm@gmail.com. permapasturesfarm@gmail.com. Email that one. Big B, capital P, capital T.
Man, that was awesome. That was original. And you are a worthy winner. But there's a lot of honorable mentions out there. Thanks so there much are. To there all really you are. Folks that are putting that out there. But do us one, I'll take a line from Andy Frazella. Pay the fee. Pass this show around. Yeah. That's your fee. Pay it.
The show is free.
Pay the fee. Yeah, so we'll just borrow that from Andy Frazella. But, hey, thanks so much, y'all, for doing that. We'll do this monthly. And one of these times I'm going to get out there and, a while back, as far as knives go, son, I got to thinking about it a little bit more. And this is a little side note. This is not even something I planned, but it's been really bugging me because technically those folks were right when I said, provide me one case in history where society has ever reformed itself without starvation.
Oh, man.
And, man, I got to give it to him, man. So I don't remember who those folks were.
I can go back and find it.
Okay, go ahead.
I can find it right now.
Okay, well, not right now, but, William, I want you to send me – actually, I want y'all to send me your contact information.
Yeah, they listen, so they'll know.
Yeah, I want you to send me your contact information because, honestly, it's been burning me up that – and believe me, I'm not one given to foolish pride. I'm really not. I got to give it to you because, honestly, you found the one exception, and if I'm totally – completely honest, you are absolutely deserving of the knife set. So I'm going to hook you up and I want you to send me your address or send it to William at the email we just gave.
permapastorsfarm@gmail.com.
Yeah, we're going to get you squared away. It might take a little bit because things are kind of hard to get in any kind of reasonable time, but you got my word. We're going to send that to you.
Yahweh Farmstead.
Yes. Reach out to me because you deserve. And for the folks that don't know and the ones that are tuning in, I said, hey, find me one example in history where society has ever corrected itself without the crucible of really hard times. And they picked Nineveh.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't know if it was the Holy Spirit weighing in on me. I don't know what it was. But and I thought, OK, well, in truth, yeah, they did reform. Now, they still got the hammer fell on them later, but technically, you're right. So there is one example that I can cite or that you cite in history, and I'm going to set things right. You deserve it.
Yahweh and, Farmstead.
We're going to get y'all squared away. Ain't no doubt about that. All right, so let's get into the other news. It's kind of went on a little bit longer than I intended, but some of this stuff I'm really passionate about. Right off the bat, son, it occurred to me as I was putting this show together, man, what happened to Fukushima?
Oh, it's still glowing.
Whatever. Yeah.
That so, whole ocean is.
Last news we ever heard, and I used to keep up on it pretty good, is, you know, basically it was poisoning the entire Pacific. And reports at the time, because I, like I said, I kept up with it closely, that even where I used to go fishing up in the Queen Charlotte Islands in Canada, that basically they had to shut everything down because, A, there have been no new killer whales born since Fukushima.
Yeah.
Salmon are dying out left and right. And I'm like, okay, nothing. Nobody ever put shut a sock the, in that thing.
What did they shut down? What harvest did they shut down this year?
It may have been, you name it, crab. I know can't crab, which but one crab, was. But that was on the other coast. So I'm not sure that counts. They were talking about milk being irradiated up in Oregon, Washington State, Northern California, all that. Maybe in Idaho and Montana. And then all of a sudden it goes off the radar and nobody's even talking about it. So I just wanted to put that out there, folks. Maybe take a look into it and see what's happening. But that thing was kicking out so much radiation and they were dumping the water into the doggone ocean. So what do you think that's going to do with the Pacific? Like, we ain't got enough dead zones out there to begin with. But I wanted to start that off. That was off. It's not a news article or anything like that, but I wanted to hit that off. Also, son, and folks, I want to let you know that just to kind of give you a heads up, look, I know everybody's having a hard time, but man, Elon Musk is dropping bombs out there. Now, I'm waiting for the shoe to turn. I'm not believing this guy is who he is, and I think I could provide a pretty convincing case for that.
Yeah, he's being pimped.
Well, you know, this guy's dropping bombs as of late, and still nobody cares. You're finding out the entire political apparatus, both sides, are completely corrupt. And nobody seems to care. So what's going on with that? But hey, we're all about farming and stuff. So I want to talk about some of this other stuff. One more thing before I cut you into the farm news. William, do you find it a little bit curious that the entire world is tripping over Kanye West and what he said, but don't have a single thing to say regarding Balenciaga? Yep. You know what I'm talking about?
Balenciaga, Dan.
Okay, whatever. Whatever it is. It's pedophilia.
Yep.
I mean, how is it you can sit here and demonstrate this outrage for what he said and then crickets regarding sexual exploitation of babies?
Emily and I were just talking about this the other day. We were just talking about Sunday, yesterday. We were just talking about it yesterday. So Kanye West, if everything he said was so, was canceled. Okay, so I get YouTube Shorts, right? And the YouTube Shorts, like if it's a canceled video, they're sending me a short where it has like three likes and there's a like maybe zero comments and stuff like that. They're wanting to see if I watch the duration of that video. They're wanting to see if that video does well with me. If I like it, if I comment, or if I watch the entire duration of it. That they're paying attention to all of that. Now I'm getting videos from Kanye with hundreds of thousands of likes, thousands of comments. That shows that they didn't cancel that video and that they're pushing that video. So that begs the question, why is YouTube not canceling what Kanye said, even though he's supposedly canceled, and they're pushing those videos? Because if they didn't cancel it, and if they weren't pushing it, it wouldn't have gotten to hundreds of thousands of likes.
Yeah, look on the other hand, but at the end of the day, I mean, what does it say for us as a society? And I would not allow myself to look. I've just heard descriptions of what was on there, and I find this so abhorrent and wicked that I can't put that in my eyes. I've seen too many evil things already, and they truly are windows to the soul. So I'm trying not to look at this, but I know what's on there, and I fight this stuff. We give money, a lot of money, to fight this sort of thing, and it just makes me wonder what's up with the American populace that you will sit here and not give a whisper concerning this other thing, but Kanye's all you can think about. Or where are all you people out there? You know, you got supposedly the Chinese over there beating down the doors. Where's all the Chinese flags? You people were out there wearing
wearing Ukraine flags. You got those posted up in your yards, but you don't have a single Chinese flag posted up in your yard.
Yeah. You know why? Because they weren't given the programming yet. And it's just aggravating to me that when you get a there was a quote from Eisenhower that, you know, history does not long entrust, and I'm loosely quoting this, history does not long entrust freedom to the weak and timid. And I would also add the stupid. Eisenhower didn't say that. And but I'm gonna add that on the back of it. Let's call that my addendum. And I'm like, okay, so you got Ukraine flags everywhere. Meanwhile, you got people over there being murdered for their organs.
Yep.
And you ain't got nobody saying a word about that. I mean, come on, man. I mean, I know this is a podcast. It's usually on the upbeat. But look, if I can say anything of value in this platform, I've got to put the focus on this idiotic nonsense that's going on in the world. And everybody's captivated by that. But the things that truly matter, they don't. They truly don't. All right, so I'll leave that alone. But I want to go ahead and get into something that affects you a little bit more. And this article is, believe it or not, from the Washington Post. Officials fear complete doomsday scenario for the drought-stricken Colorado River. Basically, son, if this thing goes down another 38 feet, there's going to be millions, like 4.5 million people without power, much less water.
Yeah.
We're talking 4.5 million, and the water consequences are much, much greater. But no, we're worried about what Kanye said.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't divert some of this. Good night, man. What?
Eric Sider.
Yeah.
Hire Eric Sider.
Yep.
Because your water squared away.
Like Eric said, I remember him saying once, you know, if he was governor of California, basically them tractors be running, those earth movers be running 24/7.
Yeah. Yeah, and not off batteries and solar power either.
You wouldn't know.
It's going to be ran off diesel.
Yeah, use that diesel for your heavy lifting, you know? There's a guy we mutually know that instead of going out there, he was trying to build a homestead, mm-hmm. and instead of using a grid initially, he wanted to be hard-headed. You couldn't tell this guy nothing. He's got his virtues, but he's also a little bit limited in terms of some things in terms of common sense. I'm like, dude, I've been in the construction game for a long time. Even if you don't intend to use commercial power, at least use it in the beginning for your heavy lifting. Well, it's the same thing with your diesel and some of the other stuff, man. An electric motor is just, it just doesn't. Look at diesel as a storage of energy. And there's nothing better for it than, you know, pushing a plow around, collecting that water. And by spring, y'all, we're going to have some really good examples around here as far as how to capture that water, how to deflect it, how to amplify it, how to do it all.
And that should be a lesson as well. Like, don't look at Jeff Lawton and the Earthship Biotexture as examples or as reasons to build your place off-grid. They're building their places off-grid because they have to. Like, the power companies won't bring power out to Earthship Biotexture. The bringing power out to Jeff's is just a flat-out fortune. So, I mean, these people have to use off-grid
power. And if you can, that's wonderful. That's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, especially the way Jeff does it with Edison batteries. I mean, they never really go bad. Some of those batteries are 100 years old, and they ain't never going to go out.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's really awesome options out there. But also, when they're sitting there openly telling you how dreadful some of these things are, you might want to consider some of the things. And this is leading you right back to some of the things we've already covered. Think about capturing water. I mean, this is why we're going to do as much as we can when spring rolls around. We're going to start doing a lot of focus on earthworks in so many different ways and for so many different reasons. And honestly, if you stop to think about what we currently have, son, in under 3 years, what we've been able to do here, I mean, we got boots on the ground. You can see it for your own two eyes. Permaculture orchard.
Yep.
Permaculture food forest. Hoogle mounds.
Two pocket ponds.
Pocket ponds. How all those things. And now we're
terrace.
Gonna, exactly. Terraces, swales. Now we're going to start kicking in some swales and ponds and joining them
pasture.
Up. Exactly. Now we're kicking out that thing with the silver pasture. So here it is at this one place where we currently live. It's a demonstration site. And that's exactly what we're trying to make out here. And we're just touching the, but we're hoping that when people come out here and think, oh, okay, that's what a swale looks like. Bam, I could do this on my property.
Yep.
And that's what people have already done with some of the classes. One last thing, and Eric also sent me this one, and it's a, I really don't know what to make of this article. I read it, and the name of it is, it's from Civil Eats. Can this chicken company solve America's food waste problem? And the name of this outfit is called Do Good Foods, and they basically sell chickens raised on surplus supermarket food. And, okay, but now here's how the process works. Now, I would love, now there's apparently one in North Carolina, and I'm going to see if I can find my way over there to get a tour. Because I know a lot about electric work. I know a lot about factories. That's where I've done a lot of my career. And I know how these things work. Now, basically, in a nutshell, they go out to supermarkets, get this food, take it back, they process it, and then they make a feed that chickens can eat. And first of all, I mean, it's describing some of the things, everything from hot dogs to produce, you name it. And then they come up with these pellets and they sell it out there. I'm having a hard time believing that this is a more efficient way. Now, I do applaud their effort. Don't get me wrong. I applaud what they're doing here. And they have a number. They're wanting to put one of these in every big city. But, okay, think about the transportation costs from there back to the factory. When you run that kind of operation, you are using up. They're talking about how much carbon or how much they're saving the environment. And I think I could make a pretty convincing case that if I were to look at their operation, like I said, I'm going to try to go there and look at it in North Carolina.
Yeah.
I will bet you a dollar to a dime they're not money ahead.
No, the pelletizing is really the issue.
Yes.
It's not necessary, but also the fact that they're pelletizing it also shows that they don't have the chickens in the correct environment either.
Well, it also,
there wouldn't be a need to pelletize it if they had like a healthy environment.
Well, what do you got in there? I mean, dude, they're, who knows what they're putting in there? These chickens of ours, I mean, because we carefully select this stuff, you know, when I was able to get this stuff out of a grocery store, obviously I'm not going to feed them the M&Ms that went bad. You know, that stuff is going to go to the trash can. So all the produce and stuff like that, when you're taking the effort to go pick this stuff up, bring it back to your factory, okay, to go through that process to where it gets all the way out and being pelletized, they are using an enormous amount of energy just to dry that stuff out with these heaters.
Yeah.
So they are not money ahead. I would be willing, but I do applaud what they're trying to do. I just think they're going, it would be a far more efficient option. Somebody's going to say, well, how would you do it?
The supermarket would have chickens.
Well,
that would be the most efficient route.
Or better still, allow farmers to come out there.
Yep.
And honestly, they would, and I'm aware of what they're going to go through with the litigious, issues in this world. They're going to be worried that somebody's going to go home and eat this stuff, get sick and die.
Yeah.
And so they're worried about that part. So you would have to qualify farmers in some kind of way. It would be far more efficient to take this stuff, have farmers, I don't care who you give it to, but give it to farmers to where it's not going to go through all this other process. Now, I'm not believing, I think it's, like I said, I mean, I keep saying this, I understand where their heart is, but I guarantee if you were to do a, what is more efficient, allowing a farmer to pick this up and feed it directly to the animals, or take this stuff, pelletize it, have a hodgepodge of who even knows what,
yeah,
And then you're going to get
even knows what kind of binder too.
Yeah. Who even knows what's in that stuff? Cause it said it's using hot dogs and everything else, but it's an article. It's like I said, that article is over. It was on November 30th at Civil Eats and it was interesting. And,
Sounds like they just overthought it.
It sounds to me like everybody overthinks a lot of things.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're not going to overthink the main topic when we come back, y'all. I was going to try to do my Prince impression, but I can't. Yeah,
I was wondering how many episodes we're going to get into before you start singing along.
Okay, I wasn't going to do it, man. I'm not going to do it. All right, y'all, topic of the day. And as always, it kind of goes hopefully in some sort of tapestry. And that's monetize your passions, your hobbies, maybe even your skills. Let me tell you what I'm talking about here. Okay, so we have a number of different means of employment. When I say employment, I'm saying businesses. Read Robert Kiyosaki's books and you'll know what I'm talking about. And also his second book, Cash Flow Quadrant. And you'll understand that in that quadrant, you will you're definitely going to position yourself in at least one of those places in that quadrant, or maybe several of them, which I recommend. So you got, you know, the investor, you got the business, you got all that sort of thing. Go check it out. Believe me, two books you ought to read. I don't care who you are. It's Rich Dad, Poor Dad and Cash Flow Quadrant. Life-changing, paradigm-changing, change everything about how you see taxes, how you see your business, why you ought to be incorporated, the advantages of corporations, all those things. Now, I'm saying all that to get you to think about something. We talked a little bit about bartering, which is wonderful because, you know, you never have to worry about the tax man coming after you. But in this time where we're going to all have to be clever, whether it's, you know, like the article I just read about the chicken processing, you know, give it to them, like it or not, that's pretty clever. All the levers that they had to move to even make that possible.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's pretty impressive. So why can't you, me, and everybody else do it? And I'll give you an example. So I learned how to butcher because I didn't want to get anybody else's meat back. Plus, I guess you could say I was way ahead of the curve in terms of preparedness because I saw this sort of thing coming and I'm realizing, you know what, man, I really need to know. I need to learn this skill. So the more I learned it, the more I loved it. The more I loved it, the more I kept doing it. And then I couldn't get enough of it. And so it was like an all-consuming passion. I have a very addictive nature about me. And then when an idea takes root, I will search that thing out exhaustively to the point where, I mean, I will take it so far if I'm not careful that I will lose sight of all the other things I'm supposed to be doing. Well, that's how butchery was for me. But then I have other passions, or you could even call it a hobby, like knot tying.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've taken that butchery skill that I have, and a lot of people want it these days, and I monetized it, whether it's doing classes. At first, I used to give these classes away. Nobody would come. Then the worse the economy would get, then all of a sudden people show up. Republicans in the White House, guess what? Nobody's concerned about butchery class for the most part. Democrats in there, all of a sudden everybody wants it. So you see this ebb and flow. I'm going right back to what William said, saying, hey, you know what? There's going to be a whole lot of people go right back into the matrix if you get another Republican in office.
Yep.
And he's right. And he's right. So you can capitalize on a lot of this stuff. And I mean, particularly your skills. So I've taken butchery, and one of the things I'm working on is to start something of a, it's, I mean, among all the other things I'm wanting to do, because I'm never going to live long enough to do it all. I want to do something of a butchery academy where you start off as an apprentice, you know, you get different, almost like your jujitsu thing, man. You got different belts.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're proficient at dispatching. Okay. You move up. Now let's see you break this pig down. Okay. You're proficient at that. Now you just became a red belt or white or blue belt.
Red belt, dang.
I don't
Starting
know.
Starting
off fast. No, well, I'm saying you kind of move on up. And then, okay, now that you know how to break it down into primals, okay, now in the subprimals. Okay, now you got that certification and then all the way up. But check it out. It is a passion of mine. It's something I love to teach. I would do it for free. I've done it for free. If for no other reason than to pass on this knowledge and then have other people doing it, there's nothing that gives me the kind of joy of knowing, hey, you know what? This person is off and running. They're going to develop their own methods and techniques. And hopefully they surpass me, because as Da Vinci once wrote, it's a poor sort of pupil that does not surpass his master. And that's, if somebody comes back and you're better, believe me, my ego is not involved. I want you to be better. But it's also something I've monetized. And now I also have a butchery video where it's a start to finish from the animal. You know, a lot of butchery videos don't show you that part. Well, we did. I know what was missing. And I'm like, okay, we'll add it. And then we're going to keep adding other pieces to it. Like, okay, how to scald and scrape.
Yep.
And then in addition to that, add other things that continue to add value to this. How to do charcuterie, how to do your sausage making, how do you make bacon, how do you do it like a pro? All those things. Well, I've monetized a skill that I learned from, well, frankly, I learned mine from former Michelin star chefs. Another thing we're doing. Another thing, it's been a long passion of mine, and that's knot tying. And it's not just because, oh, I just like to sit around and tie knots. No, I use them every single day for the most part. Well, here before long, we're going to have a little mini course on that. Well, it's something, I'm a U.S. Army sapper, I'm a rigger, I'm a rappel master, I'm all these things. Why not take that and show people how to do it at very, very little cost? Or maybe for the purchase of one other thing, we throw this course in there with you. And then, I mean, just stay tuned for that. You know what else I'm passionate about, son? Trees. I love orcharding. I love working with trees. I love working with animals too. I love working with them together. So some of these inventions, some of these things that I've tried out, some of which I've teased a little bit on YouTube, I'm not going to say what it is because I know some, I mean, there is an issue out there with people stealing other people's ideas. Right. So I'm not going to say what it is, but because I love this and because I know where their problems have arisen in some of the things I try to do, I'm like, okay, well, here's a problem that needs solved. Guess what? I can monetize that. I can offer this at a tremendous discount, and all the other people that go out there and try to replicate what we're doing, I just came up with a product that's going to make your life a little bit easier. Right now it's in the R&D phase.
Right.
Another aspect of that, and I'm not going to once again tell you what it is, but it also deals with orcharding. And there's another thing that it's been the bane, am I wrong? The bane of our existence as far as I can't.
Which, well, I was thinking tools.
It's not a tool. I'm talking in terms of marking.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm coming up with ways to make that in a way that we would actually like, that's inexpensive, that works, but that takes time too. But it's also taking a passion that is really a passion and finding, okay, let me ask you folks. You may be driving to work right now. You're probably good, and I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but I'm just pointing out because I've been there. Maybe you're driving right now to work in the morning. You're listening to this pimp cast and you're saying, man, I'm going in here. I really don't like this. What are your hobbies? What do you find interest in? You can literally go in business tomorrow with a website. You can do that. You know, nobody ever thought about taking bone sauce, making it stronger until I did it. Okay. I didn't invent it. I just made it stronger and I made it better.
Yeah.
And now that is a legitimate business. Other people are selling comfrey out there, but we've gone far and away to show you because there is no plant that we use in more frequency. Well, that's also a business. And when I saw all the things it can do, but especially your mom, I'm like, good night, man. There are so many things that we can do and be a blessing to other people. And in turn, they're not only buying our products that we made, we didn't have it made, we made it. It takes a lot of work.
We put our hands on
every single bit of it. It takes a lot of work. Now, our packaging doesn't look perfect because we're trying to save you money, and we're even lowering our shipping costs because we know that times are harder. So we're lowering, it was what, 10 bucks to ship? Now we're knocking it down to $5 to ship everything. We're going to eat the cost on that. But the idea being is that we've taken all these different, everything we've sold is something we are passionate about. Everything you hear me talk about, whether it's EMP Shield, whether it's the Harvest Right freeze dryer, we sell those things, but I am passionate about it because these things work. They are the best in the market and they give the best guarantee. I got no complaints about either product. And so you can take that. Maybe it's a product you're really passionate about. Maybe you can let other people know about it. And then you get a finder's fee. What do you call that? Like an affiliate.
Yeah, affiliate link.
I mean, you don't get much, but it's something. You know, we live a low consumption lifestyle. We don't drive new vehicles. We drive old. My best vehicle is older, as old as you.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think I'm a year older.
Yeah. I mean, it's my best vehicle. And this, we drive old vehicles so we can do some of these other things. So, I mean, maybe you're a person out there that has a little hobby. You're going to work and you're thinking, man, I'm sick of this job. I hate this. Well, you don't have to go full steam ahead tomorrow. Just start off easy. Start off with a website. Just like Two Old Crows Homestead. I mean, Shelly is awesome at making soap.
Yeah.
And it's soap that I use everybody in this family actually uses it every single day.
Except for maybe Kendra. She's got some bougie feminine soap.
Well, she makes that feminine soap too.
Yeah.
Well, but I use it every single day. And so, folks, what I'm trying to get at, if you got a product, you got something like, you know, freesteading.com where you can let the whole world know about it. Start a YouTube channel if you have to. Let everybody, or send some product out to some other people, maybe some bigger channels that'll give you some, if it's a good product and they like it, you know, sell yourself well. Go out there and let everybody know. Start a podcast.
Anybody can start a podcast. I mean, you can record on your phone, just speak into your phone and then upload it.
Start an Etsy store. I mean, there are so many different ways to get yourself off and running business-wise today. You can do that. I mean, if you're into sewing, you know, maybe there's some products like your grandma. Oh, man. Yeah. Boy, she can make a fortune on what she does. You know, other people, maybe you're a really good cook. Maybe you want to hire yourself out instead of going to work doing that job you don't like. Maybe you'd rather work as somebody's private. I mean, when I say a private chef, I mean, I'm saying you're not going in there cooking some Michelin star worthy cuisine, but maybe it's just good, honest stuff.
Or you could put the recipe online and hide it behind an AI blog post.
There you go. Yeah, I didn't think about that. There was a guy I knew, Mabbitt. That was his last name. Mike. His name was Mike. Anyway, he would sell flies. He was a big time fly fisherman. And he would always, he said, look, man, I can't tie flies unless I'm very, very calm. So he sells these flies for a lot of money. I mean, there's people out there, maybe you can do canning classes. Maybe there are all these other things, you know, and I've talked about it before and I'm going to say it again. Think about some skilled trades out there, especially if you have kids that have no direction, can't figure out what they want to do or where they want to go. Son, you got a hobby.
Yeah.
I mean, carving spoons.
Yeah, I carve spoons. I spent a long time carving spoons before I ever sold anything. I mean, it took a long time to learn how to carve a doggone spoon.
But it was a low barrier to entry, too.
Right. It really just requires a knife and a hatchet. And you can really carve with just those two items.
So you're getting an immense amount of joy out there, and you're also putting out a product. I mean, folks, it's simple as that. It really is. If you want to get yourself out of that rat race, I'll say it again, do yourself a favor. If you read it, I hear a lot of people say, well, I read those books. And then my response is, well, are you taking any of the advice?
Yeah.
I mean, it is a reason it's called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And then when you get in there and you realize, okay, if you're just like me, you're raised in a blue collar family, I guarantee you were not taught any of this stuff. But it is right there. Read that book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Cashflow Quadrant. Check those things out. There's podcasts out there. Now, there's a lot of gratuitous vulgarity in it, but the Real AF podcast where he's talking about that stuff, and he is giving bombshell advice on how you can get off and running in business. Now, he has a variety of shows that he has on there, but, you know, I mean, good night, man. Some of the information in there is extraordinary.
Yeah.
And it's groundbreaking. All right, y'all. Think about those ways in which you can monetize your life. All right. Some more of that Prince. Okay. We're going to start off with Old MacDonald. I meant to get to this one before. Actually, no, I didn't. Well, check this out. He says, hey, Billy, great pimp cast tonight. Learned a lot about Silva Pasture just in time. I really wanted to drop by and say thank you for pointing out Nicholas Bertner's permaculture design class for $25. I've been wanting to take a PDC so bad and couldn't afford it. Couldn't find any affordable options. So he said, thanks a ton, man. Thank you so much for checking it out. And thank you for those kind words. He says, I'm truly grateful for you guys putting this information out there. May the Lord bless you all. And then he leaves Deuteronomy 28:7. You know, honestly, it's stuff like that where it's when you know you're making a difference out there. I don't need to reach millions of people. I'll tell you, folks, for real. I mean, real deal. I'm going to tell you straight. I was teaching permaculture when I was still on my tools. You want to know how I was doing it? This is how I moved into this next transition of my life. I didn't care who would listen. Every tool buddy I ever had for years and years now, they knew my passion.
Oh, anybody yeah, they got a PDC.
Yes, yes. They would tell me what they were doing at the house. You get to know these people a little bit. I was okay converting one person at a time. That was really it. And so being in this place where we have, now YouTube has basically put the brakes on us. I mean, that's fine because I know what they're doing. But at least this PimpCast is able to get out there. And that was part of the reason for doing this is being able to have a plan B to get this information out and to do it more in the detail that I would like that you can't do in a YouTube format.
Yep. I got a question from KH62. Could you give examples of fodder trees? So I guess to start off, the point of a fodder tree is to be able to like cut the branches and dry them and then later feed them to your animals as a tree hay. You can also feed them like fresh and green if you'd like as well.
Well, it all depends on your location too. I mean, which ones are going to be there. Well, we're finding out, honestly, everything is a fodder tree.
No. I mean,
well, for the most part,
you got to be careful with that. A lot of these toxic varieties that people say there are medicinal values to, there are medicinal quantities to, but some popular ones are like poplar, oak, maple leaves, the black locust leaves. But the issues with the black locust leaves is that they have thorns on the branches and stuff like that. But there's like a ton.
But that's why you don't just stick them into a briar or you don't just stick them into a patch where there's just one cultivar.
Right.
And that's where you get into the danger because I have yet, and I've said this over and over again, I have yet to see an animal kill itself when it had availability of things it could eat.
Right.
It will consume what it can. And that's why I say just about everything. Now, there are some things, mountain laurel, cherry.
Blue indigo, blue false indigo.
Yeah, there's
stuff like that.
Yeah, there's some things out there that you don't want them to get into. But you'll find out if you have a variety of so many things, I have yet to see an animal kill itself. Unless it was just one thing that they had available to eat.
Yep.
That's when you typically run into those problems. There's no two ways about that. All right. Okay. Somebody was asking about the knife contest. You said Carson. I don't know if that's a male or female, but thank you so much for reaching out. It says, what about Canadians in that that have U.S. address? Can stuff be shipped to? Yeah. If you have a U.S. address, yeah, we can hook you up.
That works.
But really the nightmare that it's becoming trying to ship anything, you know, before COVID, man, I could ship, I don't know, man, trying to ship you stuff in Australia, we couldn't even get brownies through, man.
Well, yeah. Beef jerky.
Yeah.
I mean, we battling vegans. I needed some protein.
Yeah, man. I mean, it was just
vegans and snakes.
Yeah. Sadly, we can't send this stuff overseas and it's just, it drives me nuts.
So user 6487, Texas passed a law where localities have to pass most of their ticket revenue to the state. It really cut back on the speed trap towns.
I don't know. What you said it just passed this law?
Passed a law a while back, apparently.
I don't know when that while was, but it wasn't when we were there. Yeah. I mean, these guys, Texas has wonderful people. But my goodness, man, I've never seen a bigger police state in any of the states I've been into a lot. I have never seen anything worse in terms of policing than what I've witnessed in Texas.
I got another one from Rifle. This is all on the Fountain app, y'all. He said, check out Podbean app. It will let folks call in during a live. I listened to several that use it. So during a live, they can call in on Podbean app.
Okay.
So I'll have to check that
one
out.
I guess you're the tech guy. I mean, you know, I don't know anything about this stuff.
Thanks, Rifle. I got a question from Eric. If you could only eat that what grows within 100 miles of you, where would you live in the world?
Oh, man, leave it to my man ass. Awesome question like that. If you could only eat what's within 100 miles, I mean, see, I'm living in what I think is paradise. And it's a shame that it took so long to get here.
You have to base it on food, though, Dad. You're missing the question. You have to base it on food.
Okay, well, we got pigs right outside that window.
No, you have to base it on food, Dad.
On
you
food?
Have to, like, you can only eat what's within 100 miles. You got to think about this.
Yeah, I'm going to live right where I'm at, man. There's nowhere else
okay,
I want
to
live.
Okay, well, I'm moving down back to Texas because they've got more wild species and exotic species in Texas than they do anywhere else.
Oh, man.
So I'm going back to Texas.
Yeah, you'll be heading back by yourself, son. You better start up another channel.
Hey, Dad, I don't think you realize all the food you're missing out on.
No. Y'all, you got to realize he will eat stuff that'll make a billy goat puke.
Well, if I live here, that's a whole lot of animals I'm not going to be able to eat. If I go down to Texas, I'm going back down to Texas.
No, dude, I mean, there's deer running up through here. There's bear. Still haven't eaten any bear yet. I know a lot of the old boys around here swear that stuff is fantastic, but I haven't eaten any bear yet.
You got to think about these like ranches though.
I mean, honestly, I would have to pick. Okay. I know. I'll take that back. That's too nuanced that I can't honestly answer it. But honestly, if I had to do it over again, because honestly, one of the places we thought about moving was to Panama.
Yeah.
And the only downside was there was no beef. Okay. We would have full access to the commissary and the PX.
That's why I didn't pick the tropics.
Well, okay, so if I get now that I don't think it'll work that way. If I was near Fort Sherman or somewhere like that down in Panama, I'm sure I could go on. I can go on the base and get some beef or whatever.
No,
but,
it has to be. It grows within 100 miles.
Okay, so then I'm cool with seafood, unless because there was this place in Panama City, man, look called Las Cascadas, man. They had a plate that looked like a doggone wok, and it had. Man, it had so much seafood in there, you could not eat it all. And it was fantastic. And honestly, there was this place up in the mountains where every single day it's about 70 degrees, every day of the year. And the altitude of it made it absolutely perfect. That was actually where we were going to live. I mean, if my ship ever comes in, maybe, and I don't know what, we'll see what changes happen in this world. But
I'm changing it to South Carolina, 50 miles from the coast.
Yeah, I got to be in high altitude. I love moderate temperatures. It's like where we live right now, it's not too hot and it's not too cold. I mean, the winters are not bad and the summers are not bad at all. People around here think they're dying, but we've lived in Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, and all those places. Trust me, it's not
Eric, I'm going to be thinking about this all night.
Yeah, thanks a lot, bro.
I'll have a better answer next episode.
Yeah, thanks a lot. But man, if I could pick it, all things considered, honestly, I think Panama would be there because all the fishing I could ever hope for, all the food, the seafood you could ever hope for, unless they polluted that. I mean, then again, you got all them nasty ships going up through that canal. But hey, man.
Yeah, next episode.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to come back to that one. What else you got?
This is from P Ninja. Tip a pimp. Some feedback from Northern Alberta for potato storage. I think Adam that asked. My dad said that he's found the most important part to somewhere. Okay, hold on. My dad said that he's found the most important part to be somewhere dark. Potatoes hit by light turn green, which indicates the presence of a toxin. Other than that, he said he aims for 45 to 50 degrees to help keep them from sprouting. When they built their house, they put in a cold storage room specifically for stuff like that. Yeah. Hope this helps answer the question.
No, that's really where we're at right now. We don't have a cold storage thing, but that's something we really got to get hot on, along with the other thousands of projects.
AGV, best podcast out there. I'm learning how to be a true pimp with you, nephew.
Bam! Thanks, thanks, cuz. Man, I sure appreciate that, man. A lot of people seem to really love this podcast, Pimpcast. And I love doing it. I really do. Even though we seem to do them at the end of every day, it takes a lot of prep work.
Two hashtags I never thought would be together. This is from the user. Thanks for another five-star episode on the Five-Star Pimpcast. Love the combination of info/tips, faith, and humor. Keep up the work. Hashtag Jesus is King. Hashtag tip a pimp.
Well, I got to say, yeah, dude, I'd have never figured that. Thank you so much for those kind words.
Oh, man. This is from A. Eon. Thanks for what you do. I'm enjoying your YouTube channel as well, but was wondering if you have looked into Odyssey as well in case YouTube decides to shut you down.
Well, yeah. we've okay, go ahead.
Yeah, we have. The thing about Odyssey is that we already back up all of our videos like on a hard drive, on an external hard drive. So that's not necessarily an issue as far as that goes. But we're also uploading all of our videos to Rumble. We have the automatic upload to Rumble now. So you guys can check us out on Rumble if you want to. And Brighteon, which those I have to go back and manually upload a video. So sometimes you might actually get that video earlier than the YouTube video.
Well, and plus what I love about Brighteon is that I wouldn't mind doing some exclusive content over there because I know I can say whatever I want on Brighteon. And I'm not, unless you're out there, you know, kicking out violence or anything like that. I know Mike Adams is not going to sit here and throw the hammer down on me because I said something he didn't like.
Yeah, he was applauding Alex Jones for keeping Kanye on during his episode.
Yeah, there was that. And, you know, that's why I'm going to try as best I can, because YouTube is playing game after game after game. But that's where the majority of the audience is and the people we want to reach. And we're also letting you know, hey, we got these backups over here. Brighteon's always going to be my go-to just because the freedom quotient is so doggone high.
And I understand... Like, nobody wants another app to download, to check, to look for information and stuff like that.
You can't even get Brighteon on an app.
No, I'm saying, like, nobody wants, like, even if it's Rumble, nobody wants that extra app. So just replace it. Just replace YouTube with it.
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, some of these others are going to be up and coming. And I agree that, I can't remember who said it, but, YouTube's probably going to go the way of the dodo, and everybody that's so heavily leveraged on YouTube, and you're counting on that for any kind of income, I mean, frankly, YouTube ain't paying hardly nothing.
This is from Strider47. I listen to most podcasts on a higher speed. I normally listen to the Pimpcast at regular speed. I'm doing some catching up and bumped y'all up to 1.25 speed. Yeehaw, hang on tight. Hashtag Tim.
Well, the problem with
Okay, so I've noticed that depending on the app you're listening to, the podcast player you're listening to.
Yeah.
1.5 is not the same on everything. Like 1.5 on the Castos app, you can't understand anything. But 1.5 on like the Apple podcast app is kind of slow.
Yeah. I was going to say that same thing is because like with Clyde Lewis, or Stu Peters or even Rick Wiles, any of the people I pay for to get that exclusive information. Because honestly, that's where, a lot of the information, the things I depend on is usually news I pay for. I'm not going to say that you can't get good information out there for free, because if you go in the right places, you absolutely can. But I'm finding out that for some of these other subscriptions, they got their own little player. And 1.5 is like 1.25 on other things. So... you know, in different podcasts, I mean, there's some of these guys, man, depending on who they got on there, I'll put that thing on 3x the speed. I mean, you can listen it. That's the one cool thing about the Fountain app is that you can kick that speed up as high as you want pretty much. And once your ears adjust to it, I can sit here and I can zip through, because some of these podcasts I'm listening to because I just want the information. That's really primarily what I'm after. All right, y'all, we went a little bit long on this one, but thank you so much. And like I said, folks, reach out to me when you want that knife set, because I'm going to hook you up. Till next time, stay alert.
Stay alive. I'm